Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudhirayat. Nasta Praesha Vabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtake. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jadbharat. Text number 15. Manasvino. Nirjita. Dig. Gajendra. Mameti. Sarve. Bhuvi. Badha. Vaira, Mridhe, Shairan, Na, Tu, Tad, Brajanti, Yan, Nyasta, Dando, Gata, Vairo, Abhiyati, Manasvino Nirjita Diggajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi badavaira. Mride shairiranna tu tad brajanti. Yanyasta dando gata vairo vibhati. Manasvino nirjita diggajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi badavaira. Mride shairanna tu tad brajanti. Yanyasta dando gata vairo vibhati. Manasvino nirjita diggajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi badavaira. Mride shairanna tu tad brajanti. Nyanyasta dando gata vairo vibhati.
Yeah.
Vaishnavis. Manasvina, very great heroes, mental speculators, Nirjita Dik Gajendra, who have conquered many other heroes as powerful as elephants. Mama, my land, my country, my family, my community, my religion, iti, thus, sarve, all, great political, social, and religious leaders, bhuvi, in this world, badavaira, who have created enmity among themselves, mridhe, in battle, shairan, fall dead on the ground, na, not, tu, but, tat, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajanti, approach, yat, which, nyastadanda, asanyasi, gatavaira, who has no enmity throughout the whole world, abhiyati, attains at perfection. Translation. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power, yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately, they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies, and ultimately they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take to the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes these big leaders take up the guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas, but their only business is conquering their political enemies. Because they spoil their lives with the illusion of this is my land and my family, they cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I will just read the translation again. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power, yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. We're hearing Jagbharat give some examples of the nature of the struggle for material existence to Maharaj Rahugana. He's describing how difficult it is to get any kind of pleasure or happiness or satisfaction of the senses in our material activities. In the previous verse, he was talking about the struggle for happiness from the family members and from sex activities. The materialistic person generally wants to get his happiness from the family. He's thinking, first of all, I am the body, and then this is my family. But the bigger materialist thinks, this is my country. So, of course, politics is something which practically the whole world has become absorbed in. In 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how Prahlad Maharaj was put into the Gurukula of Samba and Ambarka, and they were teaching Prahlad about politics. And he was hearing that politics means to understand who is your friend and who is your enemy. Thinking, this is my friend, we will work together with them. And knowing someone else is the enemy, we will do everything we can to suppress them and to destroy them. So when Prahlad Maharaj heard these teachings, he was not impressed. He did not like this idea, making distinction, friends and enemies. That is not how a devotee thinks. Politics is for materialistic people. Therefore, generally, we do not find that politicians are very much interested in Krishna consciousness. Politicians are all thinking how to conquer. How they're claiming proprietorship. But we learn from Bhagavad Gita that if we want to be peaceful in life, we have to recognize Krishna as the proprietor. We have to see everyone equal. The sadhu is described by Lord Kapila, Ajata Shatrava Shantu Sadhava Sadhubhushana, that no one is his enemy. assesses everyone equally and thinks how to engage in Krishna conscious activities with them. That is the thinking of a devotee. Politicians, however, they have this bodily conception of life. They're making distinction, friend, enemy. In 12th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a chapter entitled Bhumi Gita. Mother Earth is describing how she laments for the foolish kings who try to conquer and claim proprietorship of her earth. Foolish kings fight with each other to become the proprietor. And the result is ultimately they both die. Prabhupada also described at the time of the partition of India between Pakistan and India, at that time there was so much killing. One person was claiming, this is my land, and the other person said, no, it's my land. And in this way they would fight and kill each other. The land was there before them, and the land remains after they go. But they claim the proprietorship. This is the ignorance of the materialist. We see a nice pastime in relation to Lord Krishna. In the 10th canto, or in Prabhupada's Krishna book, there is the incident of Lord Krishna meeting with Maharaj Muchikunda. Muchikunda had been a great king, and he'd been fighting for the demigods. And Kartikeya, the general of the demigods, was very much thankful for all the services of Muchikunda. That you have fought so nicely, I want to give you benediction. Now Kartikeya cannot give the benediction of liberation. So therefore Muchikunda simply asked for the benediction that he could sleep, and if somebody would ever awake him untimely, then he could burn them to ashes by his glance. So in this way, Lord Krishna had an encounter with Kalayavana. Kalayavana was chasing after Krishna, but Kalayavana was a Yavana. He was from the Malecha and Yavana caste. He did not have any purity. He had not done any devotional service. He could not approach the Lord. Even though he ran very fast, he could not overcome the Lord. And Lord Krishna led him into the cave, that same cave where Maharaj Muchikunda was sleeping. Then Lord Krishna disappeared. But Kalayavana entered and thought that was Lord Krishna laying there. And when he saw the figure laying there, then he kicked him. And in this way he woke up Muchikunda. Muchikunda opened his eyes and Kalayavana burned to ashes. So then Lord Krishna came and met with Muchikunda. And Muchikunda was impressed to see the all-attractive form of Lord Sri Krishna. He wanted to know, who is this great personality? First of all, however, he identified himself to the Lord, and he described that he was born in a noble family coming from Maharaj Ikshvaku, when he had been engaged in fighting for a long time. Because he'd been fighting for many, many years, he was very tired, and he got that benediction that he could sleep. But he also got that benediction that somebody's going to wake him, they would burn to ashes. In this way, Muchikunda revealed himself to Lord Sri Krishna. And he went on to describe his own situation, that he had been a great king. And as a king, he had labored very hard to expand his empire. Just like politicians, they always want to expand their empire. Whatever power they have, it's not enough. They want more power. They want to hold on as long as they can. They will have heart attacks. They will still hold on. They will never give up. They want to hold on to their power. They think, how can my country ever go on without me? The country existed long before them, and the country exists long after them. But out of ignorance, they're thinking that they're so important. They do not understand their actual duty, that their human life is meant for self-realization. So in the same way, Muchikunda was describing to Lord Krishna his own foolishness, how he struggled so hard conquering the world and subduing different kings, and in this way expanding his empire. But then he said he saw that the personality of Godhead was overcoming him in the form of time and taking away his vitality and his very life. That body which he valued so much, that body which we decorated so much, which spent so much time to care for, that body would become ashes, or it would be food for some animals, or it would simply be eaten by some worms. That is it. End of the body. All of our bodies will become ashes. It will be eaten by worms or insects. Or it will be food, like, just like the Parsis. They don't burn the body because they worship fire. They don't bury. They give the body for the vultures to eat. So the vultures come and eat, and then the body becomes stool of the vultures. So this is the fate of this body which we value so much. Muchikunda understood the temporary nature of this material body. He understood his ignorance. He went on to describe that time also came to him even while he was living. It's not that we have to wait for time to come to us in the form of death. Time also comes to us while we're living. And he described how he was a victim of time, because he would conquer the world and subdue all the kings, and they would come and offer respect to him. But in time, he would go to the inner chambers of his palace, and he would bow to his queens in order to have sense gratification. This is material life. Sense gratification is the goal. And we will do anything to get gratification of the senses. So satisfying the senses, we will perform many sinful activities. We have to atone for these sinful activities. We have to get rid of the reactions for these sins. Just like Muchikunda, he understood that he had performed many sinful activities. He had to go and do some austerity. So it is described that when he came out of the cave after meeting Lord Krishna, he saw that Kali Yuga had begun. Everyone had become pygmy size. All small sizes. Knowing that Kali Yuga had begun, he decided to go to the Himalayas, and he went to Badarik Ashram, where he performed austerities to wait for the end of his life. And in his next life, he was promised by Lord Krishna that in his next life, he would take birth in a pure Brahmin family and he would be a topmost Vaishnava. And he would be able to perfect his life. So like that, we have to understand the duty of human life. Politicians think the duty of life is simply economic development. It's a dirty word for sense gratification. It's just a fancy, rather fancy way of saying sense gratification, economic development. And of course, the purpose of all economic development is gratify our senses. Politicians are concerned with that. If they will promise the people all kinds of sense gratification. And if you can make wonderful promises, then you have a good hope of getting lots of followers. When Prabhupada would speak about politicians, he would often refer to one verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Svadvid varahostra karai samstutta purusha pashu. That people who are like hogs, dogs, camels and asses do not like to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord who can free everyone from birth and death. So foolish people who are of the nature of these animals, they will select the biggest animal as their leader. If someone is a very big hog or a big dog, they will vote for him. If they will make big promises of sense gratification, then people will, yes, this is what we want. This is the kind of leader we want. They do not know what is actually the qualification of the leader. That we are meant to follow the Mahajans. When Prabhupada would speak about following, he would talk about the Mahajans. It is stated, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Don't follow the blind. Blind people, if one blind man follows another blind man, you cannot get any good result. We have to follow people with real vision. Mahatmas, not Mahatmas in the sense of these so-called politicians who proclaim themselves Mahatmas, but actual Mahatmas. The nature of Mahatma is described in Bhagavad Gita. Mahatmanastu mam parta daivim prakritim ashrita vrajanti ananya manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. That the great souls are under the protection of the divine energy. They are fully engaged in devotional service. That is the nature of a real Mahatma. Mahatma is not just some politician, somebody who just promises some sense gratification and leads people into the path of hell. The Mahatma is one who knows the real path into the light. Tamasima Jyotirgama. Don't stay in the dark. Go to the light. But to go to the light, we have to follow those who know the path into the light. We have to follow the great souls. The Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Komar Kapilo Manu, Pralado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vyasaki, Vayam. Ashram is not important. It mentions here, but they cannot become sannyasis. Not that they have to become sannyasis, but in the sense, not in the sense that they have to carry the danda or the saffron dress, but they have to renounce the desire for sense gratification. That is important. If they maintain the desire for sense gratification, then that is not sannyas. Everyone has to renounce at some point in their life. Certainly in old age, it is recommended that you should renounce, because that will free us from so many sins. Of course, renouncing, we should not again commit sin, but rather we will be very careful to strictly avoid any kinds of sin. So Jad Bharat, he had understood all of these things. He is preaching to Maharaj Rahugana about, because Maharaj Rahugana, he's a king, he has a kingdom, he has a great responsibility. He wants him to understand the real goal of life. Don't just be that kind of king who just promises sense gratification for people, and then so that you can enjoy more sense gratification than them. Just like when Prabhupada first went to Moscow, he saw in Moscow, he saw that they're talking, everyone is equal, but somebody is riding in a car and somebody is sweeping the street. Where is the equality? Equality? Someone's riding in a nice car, somebody is sweeping the street. Is that equality? Nowadays people understand more. They know people are not equal. There's no equality in the material world. But in the spiritual sense, there is equality. When we have Krishna consciousness, there is equality, because we see everyone as spirit souls. We do not see the material body. We see everyone as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And we think how to engage them, how to give them Krishna consciousness. In the Krishna conscious world, there is perfect harmony, because Krishna is in the center. The material world, there will never be harmony. There will always be political conflicts, one party and another. Just like I'm preaching in Thailand, and in Thailand they have red shirt and yellow shirt. And there's conflict going on for many years. One party is the red shirt and the other party is the yellow shirt. And they're competing. Who should run the country? The yellow shirt says we should run, but the red shirt says no, we want to run. And in this way they're arguing, it's going on continually. Colors, a new color will come after some time, and the conflict will go on. It's never going to be resolved by some political adjustment. The problem is we don't have the proper center. The center of all consciousness is Krishna. When we put Krishna in the center, then there is perfect harmony. We give the example, you throw many small stones into the pool of water. Then there will be many circles, and all of the different circles will overlap each other. Conflicts. But when there's one stone, you throw one big stone into the pool, then the ripples from the stone will come out from one center. That is Krishna consciousness. One center. Krishna is in the center. There is no politics. There is no arguing. Everyone knows Krishna is the center. Our goal is to please Him. When we keep Krishna in the center, then everyone is happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have 5 minutes. We can ask if there's any question.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Maharaj. I'd be grateful to you if you could remind us of the conversation between our Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, when they first met in Calcutta, about the temporary nature of politics.
Okay. So, of course, this is a nice example of politics. At that time, at their first meeting, our own founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, was a follower of Gandhi, and he was thinking that our country, India, is not yet independent. First, we have to have independence for India, and then we can think about spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada impressed upon him that Krishna consciousness, the message of Lord Chaitanya's movement, is more important than any political adjustment, and it cannot wait for simply some political adjustment. We have to immediately spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. The political adjustments that will come in time, it is not significant. What is important is the spreading of the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Prabhupada was convinced, and from that point on, he began to think seriously about the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu, you had a question?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You talk about renouncing to sense gratification, and I heard of Prabhupada saying that stopping sense gratification is artificial, and that we have to change the taste. Could you please stand on that?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada does mention sense gratification is like salt. He gives an example. Just like when we cook, that some salt should be there in the food. If there's too much salt, taste is not good. And if there's no salt, then also taste is not pleasant. So some sense gratification is required. So the point is sense gratification has to be reduced, has to be controlled. The goal of life is not achieved by increasing sense gratification, but by bringing the sense gratification to the healthy level. Just like a person with a fever. Prabhupada often gives this example, that when we have a fever, we don't want to increase the fever. We want to bring the fever to the healthy level. Of course, example is there that the man had two people in his home with fevers. He brought the doctor, and there were two ladies. One was his wife, and one was the maidservant. So the doctor met the wife and said, "Oh, she's got a little fever, nothing very serious. Let her rest, she'll be okay." And when he went to see the maidservant, he said, "Oh, her fever is very serious. She needs to have... She has constant care, you have to watch her, she'll need a lot of rest, you have to really look after her carefully, her condition is very serious." So when the man's wife heard this, she was not pleased. She said, "I'm the wife, my fever should be more than hers." So this is a modern tendency, you know, that we want to increase the fever. We're thinking we want to increase the sense gratification. But that is not human life. Human life is meant for regulating sense gratification and minimizing it. Not that we have to totally stop, but we have to regulate it to the minimum standards. Prabhupada said, as a young man, he gave up mating and defending. He said, "Now in my old age, I have conquered eating and sleeping." So eating and sleeping, mating and defending, these are the basic sense activities. These things have to be carefully regulated. You know, don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Eat too much, diabetes. Eat too little, tuberculosis. You have to be careful. You have to know how much to eat. Don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. Regulation, everything. These activities are there. We don't say don't eat, we say eat prasadam. Right? Oh, you have a quick? Is it in relation? Yeah?
Thank you, Maharaj. Just like you explained, politics is about understanding who is my friend and who is my enemy. The same distinguish, doesn't we do in the spiritual life as well? What practices will be favorable for me, which association will be favorable and which will be harmful, and we refrain from those things. So same distinguish.
Spiritual activities are all favorable for you, Prabhu. There's no spiritual activities which will be harmful.
But we differentiate which association will be favorable and which association will be unfavorable.
Well, we generally should try to associate with senior Vaishnavas, devotees more advanced or at least equal to us, and give mercy to innocent devotees.
I wanted to inquire, what is the difference between distinguishing in the way of politics and distinguishing in spiritual life as well? We don't distinguish the both spheres of life.
Oh well, we're distinguishing for our service to Krishna. In politics, they distinguish based on sense gratification. The distinction is based on who's going to satisfy my senses, who's going to support my thinking, who's going to approve me, who's going to vote for me, who gives me what I want. So based on our sense gratification, we make distinctions in politics. But in Krishna consciousness, we make distinctions on how we can progress in Krishna's service. Who can help me to progress more in Krishna consciousness? Who can help me to remove my anarthas? Who can help me to give up my attachments to material life? Who can give me greater mercy? We make this, it's a different way of thinking. This making distinction, but still we see everyone as devotee. We give mercy to those less advanced. We associate with those who are equal. And we try to faithfully serve those who are senior. Okay? So, I think we have to stop. 8:45. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you.